to be honest, we were aware of what was going to be coming because we had done our own survey, which we'd fed back to Curtis Bright. So we had some idea of what the report was going to say. But it didn't really prepare us for the report is quite shocking, really. It's very stark on the service across the board.
And were there any particular findings that may have come as a surprise to you at all?
No, there was nothing that came to a surprise as a surprise to us, because as parents, we're well aware of the failings across the system, the long-standing failings across the system, which were, I suppose, exacerbated by COVID. But they were there long before COVID.
And you've said these findings confirm what many families have known for years. If that is the case, why do you think nothing was done beforehand?
That's a hard question to answer, really. I can't answer that because we've been raising these issues for many years. Before COVID, you know, in 2020, we had a learning disability strategy put in place, which was to run for 5 years. COVID hit, the strategy was disbanded. The strategy was making progress and inroads into the difficulties faced across the service, but it was disbanded for whatever reason. I don't know. It was a Manx Care decision to disband it. And we consequently had no strategy going forward. We were told that the strategy, people with learning disabilities were covered within the care strategy and within the autism strategy. But that is not the case. We have not been well served.
And just to look at some of the findings themselves, I mean, how do these conditions like limited freedoms, inappropriate placements or under-resourced homes actually affect individuals on a daily basis?
Well, they hugely impact on their abilities to live to their full potential. Many of them can't get out. They can't attend activities. They can't do the things they really want to do. They're not facilitated to even know the kind of things that they will enjoy. Some of the community houses are able to avail of our services because after COVID, Manx Care also withdrew day services for everybody living in a community house, of which we have 68 people now. I thought it was 80, but apparently it's only 68 people living in community houses. So they had nothing to do all day. So that's when we instigated our adult programme. But the irony of that is that many of them who are living in the community houses still can't access a lot of what we do because of staffing issues. So it's difficult across the board, really.
And you've called for no more delays, no more excuses. What does real accountability look like for you? I mean, who needs to take ownership here?
Manx Care need to take ownership of it. Whoever's leading the service needs to take ownership of it.
And do you feel like they are taking ownership?
Not yet, but I think they will. I think the assistant director is very aware of the difficulties, and I think he will instigate changes across the service. We're really hopeful that we'll be able to work together to try see changes and to try better improve people's lives.
Is there a risk, in your opinion, that any of these findings will be shelved and quietly forgotten?
Well, I'm really hopeful that parents will rise. I think over the years, parents have been worn down, that they're tired of fighting and that they feel their voices are not heard. We have some new policies in place which are making things even more difficult, because while we acknowledge totally across the island, everybody acknowledges that our service is 20 years behind the UK at least. But these new policies are trying to jump us those 20 years ahead, and we're not equipped for it, we're not staffed for it, and we don't have the expertise on island to do this yet. So that's causing difficulties and anxieties around parents. So I think parents have finally had enough. I'm really hopeful they finally had enough and they're going to say, right, this is not on. Do it. What are you doing? Make you accountable. And that has to be across the service. As a body of parents, we really have to be more outspoken and drive change forward along with Manx Care. And I think Manx Care are ready to do this with us. So that's a really good thing, a really positive thing.
One of the report's recommendations is for Manx Care to consider transferring operational responsibility to a specialist provider. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we can't go on the way we're going on. We just can't. I think the morale across staffing is the lowest it's ever been. I think the service managers, of which we have three, the morale across them must be really difficult. And we can't go on like we're going. So we have to find some way of of making things better. And if that's an outside provider, then so be it. I don't know what the right way is. But if an outsider provider comes in, they've still got to draw on staffing. You know, they're still drawing on the same pool of people, really. We don't have the expertise on Ireland. And I think that is a really big problem across the whole board.
How would it work in practice? Because a specialist provider would be privatisation if you're transferring operational responsibility, unless you made an arm's length body within an arm's length body. Isn't bringing on a specialist provider effectively just privatising the health service?
Well, I hadn't really given that a great deal of thought, but yes, I suppose it is. But for us as parents and service users, we don't know what the answer is. We know more staffing. You know, we know that trying to individualise people's programs so that they have a better life. But we've recruited staff in from Riordan Abbey, which is an old folks facility. So we've got many staff who've transferred from there into learning disability. But they've come in without training. And the ability to train them within the hours available to catch up, if you like, is difficult. So we're going to see some rough months ahead while we try to make these changes. On a personal level, I would hate to see it privatised because I don't think that's the right way to go necessarily. I think staffing need more support. I think possibly we need to look at a change of how things are managed at the top across the board. I think the service leader at the moment has come in. He's 18 months in post, and it's unfair to expect him to make the changes that are necessary without the backup from above him. And I think that's been lacking.
The report does paint a picture of low morale, high vacancy rates and inconsistent training, some of that you've already alluded to. How important is that workforce reform in achieving long-term change?
Well, they're the lifeblood of the workforce. Without them, we can't run a service at all. We're totally reliant on the carers to meet our loved ones' needs and to give them the life that we really want. But I think what's happened is there's been friction across the service, really, and that parents have become more demanding because things have become more difficult. I think it's become a negative relationship at times, and it's not a partnership, and it should always be a partnership.
And let's just touch on that relationship factor. What are families telling you about the relationships that they have with staff and managers? Is there a culture problem there as well?
Yes, there absolutely is a culture problem. Parents are finding it difficult to navigate into getting the best care, to being heard. I don't think parents feel they're heard across the service. And the louder they get and the more outspoken they become, the more they're viewed as a nuisance in the service. And that's not a good thing. I would like to say that on the whole, our survey highlighted, and I think Cordis Bright have done the same, that the staff on the ground are kind, compassionate, and, you know, people haven't really got a problem with the staff on the ground per se. But when problems do arise, it's how they're dealt with that is causing the problems.
And what would you say to the government and Manx Care directly today?
That you need to listen more, that you need to address the issues that have been raised, and you need to have a service in place that's going to meet the needs of people with learning disabilities. You need to employ a psychologist. We have no psychology input on Ireland for people who are just the same as you and I, who have mental health issues, who have difficulty navigating the world. We have no service that can help them with that. We have a part-time speech and language therapist who's 2 days a week across the service. And that's not just with the people living in the residential homes. That's across the whole service. Manx Care provide for us support for 380 people or 390 people. And there's 0.2 of a speech and language therapist, whereas communication in that cohort is massive. You know, without communication, we cannot know what they want, what their needs are. We cannot meet their needs. That's not in place. We don't have an occupational health service for people with a learning disability. So they are literally the most vulnerable in our society and the most sidelined.
And just lastly, to the families who've been waiting years for change as well, what would you say to them? Is there any reason to be hopeful now?
Yeah, I do think there's a reason to be hopeful. I really do. And I think that the meeting's coming up. We're having meetings now with Manx Care at the end of June where we will learn a bit more about how they're going to make these changes. And the other thing I would say is that we've just got to keep the pressure on, that we've got to highlight where the inequities happen, where the difficulties arise. And if you can't do that through Manx Care and you're not getting the answers you would hope for, you can always come to us at Manx MenCap and we will try bridge that gap for you. While we're optimistic that the future looks good, we look forward to working closely with Manx Care on implementing the changes that are going to be recommended across the board, ensuring that a strategy is put in place and that strategic plans are put in place.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.